How's it going, guys? Welcome to another edition of the RSL Show. I am the intern slash host, Alex. Alongside me, I have...
Intern slash host, huh?
Yeah.
adding a title for yourself?
Yeah, why not?
All right. I'm Josh.
I'm Isaac, the junior producer.
Andy Munoz.
What's your title?
That's all you need to know.
I'm just Josh. I didn't even know your last name.
I'm the guy just barely keeping this thing alive.
Yeah, it's true.
Because all our friends quit. Everybody quit except us. Mitch moved to Portland.
What are we going to do when Mitch moves back?
And Jake had a family. I don't know.
You got to kick Alex out?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. That's a hard one, man, because Mitch... I love Mitch, dude, but sometimes he wouldn't watch the games, and he would show up to podcasts. You remember that?
Yeah.
He'd be like, I don't know, man. I didn't watch this match.
See what happened, but we'll just go for it.
That's okay, though. We're not. We never prepare. Alex, nice work on the intro there, dude. Okay. We're here next day to talk about Real Salt Lake and Vancouver Whitecaps. But first, let's just quickly review.
Okay.
MLS Apple.
Yeah.
MLS 360. Let's talk about what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it. And then let's talk about some best moments around the league, because now...
I got to see them all.
You got to see them all, right? Sick. It's pretty dope. So, yeah,
I'll
go
start.
Ahead, Josh.
So
yeah.
The MLS 360 idea is very cool. It's like an NFL red zone type situation. My only complaint is they obviously haven't figured out like the banter between the multiple hosts, and then they need to figure out how to show more action, even if nothing's happening, right? If there's not a goal or whatever, they should have at least... something from some game playing, even if it's just the game, right? Same with during commercial breaks. Like, it should be picture in picture, so there's always some kind of action for you to consume, because it got really old in week one watching the hosts try to come up with something to talk about that wasn't, oh, Bradley Wright Phillips, you played for New York. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of got old. So they kind of need to, you know, fine-tune that a little bit, but otherwise it was really cool to see all the action happening around the league at the same time.
I think the amount of times that they mentioned that Sacha Kljestan and Bradley Phillips played for the New York Red Bulls,
dude, it was infuriating.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah,
so
it got really old.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, I've been saying for years that MLS needed some type of like red zone show where you can just go from game to game, get the live looks, get the highlights. You know, live, like in the moment, just like with MLS 360, we finally got that. The idea is there, but.
Fine-tuning, man.
Yeah, they definitely need to work on it. It's week one, you know?
They'll get there. I'm not mad about it, but, like, it needs to be fine-tuned or I will be mad about it.
Yeah, and there was parts where they would, like, all be talking all at once, and you couldn't understand anybody.
Correct.
Like, it just sounded like yelling over each other, especially when Twelman came on. Like, once Twelman jumped on, which, not a fan of Twelman already.
No one is.
But as soon as he jumped on, dude, everybody was just talking over each other. It was, like... completely unorganized, such a mess. The idea is there. The video of the games, though, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. The images are crisp. It looks nice, and so just improved it from there.
There was also a moment where the five panelists or whatever, where you could see their backs watching the TV, watching the highlight. That made zero sense to me.
Yeah, so there's...
I want to see what's happening on the field, right? I don't want to see them watching it.
Yeah,
so that could go away. Yeah, that was one that was weird.
I think with how many times they switch sets, because like sometimes they would have the desk out, sometimes they would have the couches out, sometimes they would just be standing there. With how many times, I think they were just trying to like test which one worked best for them. Because literally every commercial break, you'd come back, and then the desk would be back, or the couch would be back, or whatever.
That too, they'd be standing.
Yeah. So, again, just fine-tuning.
Yeah, it's like just keep the desk, right? Like, that's what ESPN does generally.
Literally every other sports network.
Yeah, it's it was a little bit, you know, but it's for the first time. It's I love it for what it, I mean. It's gonna elevate.
Oh, it's already great.
Yeah, it's like you said to your point with being current on all of the league news. That was pretty cool.
Right, that's something that I've never really been able to do outside of what I just catch on Twitter.
Yeah, because you're not going to... Yeah, and of course, you know, some of the games were blacked out in the old system.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that you would know is if it was gaining traction on social media, on Twitter. But like yesterday, I mean, some notable moments like Tate Schmidt getting the header from Hector Herrera, Houston Dynamo. Like, right. That was
we probably would have
on
never
our screens.
Seen, like, we would have seen someone tweet, oh, Tate scored, but we wouldn't have seen the goal. We wouldn't have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Isaac, what'd you like about it, dude? What's what was your experience like watching this?
I mean, it was really nice just getting, like, updates. And then, what can I say? I mean, the only thing I could really say that was, like, super critical was how laggy it was. Did anybody catch how laggy it was?
I think some people kind of struggled with that a little bit. That's it?
Yeah, that's it, dude.
Yeah, just laggy?
Laggy.
That's not a bad thing.
And then you go from...
Or not a, like a... Whatever, there could be more.
Well, then, I mean, also, like, Almeida, the two goals that he made, like, it was pretty cool to see that.
Like, live, though, like yeah. Hey, this is happening. Mm-hmm. They have a free kick in the 97th. Let's see if he scores it. You know what I mean?
Right. Did you just swear?
Did I? I don't think so.
No?
Did he swear?
I don't think he did.
I don't think I swear.
Did you say F, yeah?
No.
Okay.
If he did, it went right over my head.
I'm going to go back.
Bro, same.
I'm going to go back and listen. Hang on.
Go ahead.
One sec. All right. We went back and listened, and you said, like, yeah, by unanimous decision.
Yep.
He didn't say a swear word.
I heard no swear word.
And we just got the opinion of other people who were neutral. Isaac said, like, yeah. I thought he said F, yeah, but he said, like, yeah.
I just want everyone to know we just spent a solid 15 minutes arguing over what was said.
Because I told you guys I didn't want to edit.
Right, but like,
Maybe I'm paranoid.
You don't want to edit, but we just spent more time debating on what was said than it would have taken you to edit it out.
Because, dude, who says like, yeah?
Apparently Isaac, because he like just said it.
Stupid. Say something real quick. Just say like, just say a random fact or something.
You need to go get your ears checked.
Like, yeah. Who says like, yeah?
Isaac, I just said that. He just said that.
I swear, dude, I heard F, yeah. So if you guys are listening, listeners, please let us know. Did you hear an F, yeah,
we're
or a like, yeah?
We're going to have to throw a poll out tomorrow.
So stupid. All right.
Was it
what,
like,
what
yeah
minute
F, yeah
marker was that? It's like 5:50 or something. Anyways.
Goodness gracious.
What were we talking about? Oh, the Almeida stuff, right?
Well, yeah, just about MLS 360 and how we could see things live.
MLS 360, I think it's dope. Yeah, they got to iron out the kinks. The thing that was the most annoying part is there's two games in stoppage, like literally, 90+3. And, you know, you're watching like the commentators talking about both matches. And then it's like, Apple, MLS Apple TV. You're watching MLS Apple.
Ridiculous.
Commercials.
Dude.
And, and they're like unbranded commercials. So it's almost like, why are they running commercials at peak times of, you know, stoppage time or close to the end?
Or, God forbid, you can still play the commercial, but have the commercial small in the corner like the NFL does.
Yeah.
So you can still see what's happening.
Yeah. I think they're going to work it out. There's a lot of opinions being tossed around, which I think most of are valid. Mm-hmm. I, for one, am really enjoying the experience. And that's... You know, I'm not biased. I'm just, I think it's great. I think it's going to do a lot for the league and the growth. And, oh man, I had one more thing.
Update.
What's up?
Who won? Jake Paul lost.
Jake Paul lost.
Jake Paul lost.
Oh, damn.
Oh, man. We.
Did he get knocked out?
That's not a swear word. That is not a swear word.
I've actually had this argument with Andy before, and he considers it a swear.
But you consider that a swear?
But I'm going to veto you right now and tell you to calm down. Let's just continue talking.
No, I think damn's good.
Okay, cool.
Damn is fine, because
it's okay.
We've let that one ride.
But you should have said darn.
Darn.
Darn it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
MLS, or just going from the coverage that ESPN Plus had last year to what we saw yesterday, complete night and day.
Yeah, you could let the app ride, and you can switch in and out. There's picture-in-picture features. There's, like you guys said, the MLS 360, the picture quality. Somebody said 780p online. I don't know if that was a joke or not. That's not a resolution. Goes 720, 1080, 1260, 1440p. Okay. Yeah. Also, it looked great.
It did look pretty crappy for the Real game, though.
It did look.
I think it was because of the turf.
Yeah, it looked really bad for
the turf,
the
and the lighting in the stadium was bad.
And yep. I think as far as like crews that are maybe sent out, I mean, let's face it. Real Salt Lake, Vancouver, like
bottom of the barrel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
you're gonna send some good people that can operate cameras and crews and all that, but you're saving. I mean, dude, what was like the first match of the day? It looked awesome.
Nashville, New York.
Yeah, like that looked pretty good. Like the camera angle, resolution, everything.
Which too, but if you compare what we saw on Apple TV, that was a game that was nationally broadcasted on Fox as well. The difference too between the national broadcast and what was on Apple TV, also night and day. Fox's coverage was not good. Fox's quality was not good. Then I came back over to the Apple app to continue watching the game. So much better.
Yeah.
So much better quality.
Dude, I was unaware of that. So they're still they're still being broadcast on different
platforms.
Random
national
TV
games.
Yeah, random.
Because they have to still, display the product to the masses at some point.
Yeah. Commentators? Do we want to talk about the commentators? How'd they do?
I mean,
they could have put some more effort into it.
There was at one point
the Salt Lake Royal keeper.
Yeah,
Salt Lake keeper.
Salt Lake's keeper makes the save. It's like you can't look down and read his name, dude. Right. That was annoying. But again, growing pains. To be fair, I just really hope Twellman ends up calling games and not on that 360 thing all the time, because man, I just can't with that guy. I never have been able to. So
yeah, he was supposed to be at the LAFC game.
Oh, that's why he popped in. Yep. Okay, so that's not an every week thing.
Man. I'm a big fan of it, dude. It's again, if you're paying for Apple TV, instead of $100, it's $80. I think a lot of people went on to Twitter to say like, hey, the cost is justified for what I'm getting. And it's true, man. Like, we were talking about this. It's, there were no blackouts. We were all kind of like enthralled with the other games and suddenly caring about what was going on. And then you could see the top players like Almeida, scoring in the 93rd and then the 97th for the win, which was
wild, insane. And they were two bangers too. It wasn't like a little tap in. It was
exactly. So I think it's off to a great start. By the way, we do have a winner of the MLS Apple season pass. I need a drum roll from Isaac and from Alex and Josh. Go ahead. All right. The winner of the 2023 MLS Season Pass by review and by random whatever is Dalton Gee. Congratulations, Dalton.
Let's go.
Dalton.
Woo!
Let's go. Dalton. That's how you're finding out. Let's go.
Yep. We've messaged the winner. We'll go ahead and post that a little bit later. We got the code over to him, so we do good on our promises. MLS Season Pass brought to you by the RSL Show. Ah, that's one thing that I wanted to say. What I didn't miss, I did not miss the America First corner kick or
Maverick throw-in.
What was the man of the match one? Or like the good hands? You're in good hands with Allstate or whatever.
Yeah, save of the game, yeah.
Dude, like that's...
Swig substitutions.
Yeah, dude. I did not miss that at all.
Like every single time. Yeah.
There was not one point where I missed it. And I understand that those things are probably happening on the radio side, and we'll be able to hear those on the home radio when Real Salt Lake has their first home game on March 11th.
Hopefully I'm at the riot watching and don't have to hear it. So
yeah. Yep. So... I love Apple. I really do love Apple.
Well, it was pure, right?
It was nice, man. It was just like the game.
Even the ticker was nice.
The score ticker looked nice.
I actually didn't like it.
The presentation
was
nice.
Too simple for you?
It was way too simple.
Why?
Just throw on a crest on there and I would have been happy.
But see,
throw on the team logos and we're good.
That's fine and all. But from a neutral standpoint, if you don't know what that crest is,
you're looking for the color.
You're looking for that color from the crest.
Bro, think about it. How many times has your girlfriend, you don't have a girlfriend, my bad. How many times has a girlfriend of yours in the past been like, which team are we?
Exactly.
Dude, that's a game changer.
It's just the color. RSL. Okay. All
right.
Yellow.
I can see that.
Bam, yellow. And then there was no advertisement along with it. It was just simple.
It was nice, man. The presentation. Dude, I love that. Apple's like a $1 billion corporation. They're like, we don't need your, tire shop. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I just love that, dude. Yep. Like, I'm not saying I hate local business, but when I'm trying to watch something, it's like, I don't care. I don't need the Sportsman's Warehouse 50th minute, blah, blah, blah. Right.
It was nice not being bombarded by ads in the game.
Yeah, dude. Like, I almost, I feel great. I didn't buy anything during the match. It's nice.
Men's Warehouse outfit of the match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even during the games, like here specifically at America First, like we'll have like the Siegfried and Jensen signs by the goal boxes. We'll have freaking ads all around the stadium. But even like just looking at most of like the broadcasts and most of what the the games yesterday, they didn't have those anymore. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but there weren't as many ads on the field either.
Yeah, I don't know.
There were still the boards, right? Yeah,
I think the boards had some. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. You could be right.
I saw the Adidas board, and that's it.
But I don't think they killed all the ads.
I saw one for like Blast Media, whatever that might be. But I didn't see that.
There's still going to be some ads, but it's not like every time someone sneezes, oh, we have to see this ad read now.
Yeah. What's up?
No, the thing that I was going to say was like...
rises up like a salmon, brought to you by Cabela's. All right, go ahead.
I was going to say the Blast Media like panel was flipped the other way, so it was like towards the crowd and not towards the field. So I guess
that's... it'd be interesting. We'll have to go back and look.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they just killed all sponsorship, but that... I don't know. That wouldn't really make sense. But then I could see Apple just being like, yo, we just want strictly, you know, MLS on Apple, whatever.
We just want the people's money, not...
Yeah.
The advertising money.
Cool. I think it's totally worth it. If you guys are on the fence about it, you know, do your research, but mainly just go online and just see the user experience and how happy people were. Like we said, they got to get rid of some of the kinks, but dude, great start, man. Like,
absolutely.
What a great launch. Cool. Well, let's move on. Let's talk some Major League Soccer. First off, it's going to go around the board here, and we're going to talk about scores around the league. Also, if we can kind of remember some of the gameplay, feel free to chime in with those. So first match of the day, Nashville SC versus NYCFC.
Zimmerman gets the first goal.
Yep, of the MLS season.
No surprise.
Zimmerman, yep, he did. 2-0, so NYCFC falls. Then we move over to Atlanta versus San Jose. I'm trying to remember details, dude. Did you watch that at all? Oh, Atlanta. Duh, Almeida.
Just like last night. They didn't show those highlights.
Yeah, man. I'm just like spacing
as we just watched that.
No, what a fantastic match. Also, let's see. Charlotte, New England.
It's weird seeing Bobby Wood in a New England kit. A little strange.
DC United, Toronto.
Dude, what a comeback in that one, too.
Comeback.
Toronto's up 2-1, and then DC in, like, the 89th and the 97th, however long they played.
Benteke gets a goal.
Yeah.
Yep. Miami, Montreal. Aaron Herrera handed his first loss as a Montrealian.
Montreal, is that what they're called? Montreal.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's a pretty rough name, if so.
Probably a game that we didn't want to follow. No one watched that. Orlando 1-0 over the New York Red Bulls.
PK.
Meh.
Dude, those Red Bull jerseys are gross, man.
You don't like them? Everybody's hyping them up.
They're dumb.
Wow.
Look like, you know, the Easter candy Robin's eggs?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they look like to me.
Yeah. Also, and then there were two matches that were just like electric. I know you're going to go crazy for the first one. Philadelphia versus Columbus. Philadelphia, bro.
They're so good, man.
Just put on a show, dude. A
couple PKs, though. But still, lit them up.
Still, though, 4-1, bro, over Columbus Crew. Columbus Crew is a good team.
Yeah, they were a good team. I don't think they're considered a good team anymore.
All right. Move over to Austin and St. Louis.
Dude, St. Louis, bro.
Shout out St. Louis.
Way to come into the league, my guys.
Yeah.
A team I know nothing about.
Over Austin, dude, on the road.
That's a good team that they beat.
Yeah.
I think if they go into like a Chicago per se and they get the win, we're probably not having this conversation. But the fact that it's Q2 Stadium, the fact that it's Austin, probably one of the most hostile territories in the whole league, and they just go and get the win for their first game
in stoppage, was it not?
At
the death.
It was a late goal. It wasn't in stoppage, but it was a super late goal. But Kip Keller on the turnover.
Yeah. That defender. Hey, pass me the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Dude, you got it. If you guys haven't seen that, basically the forward is like behind the defender, says, hey, pass back or something like that. There's no other way that explains that. The defender literally turns around and just kicks it before looking up.
Yeah,
and,
but also, that, I guess that makes up for St. Louis's goalkeeper, Berkey, just being absolutely lazy on that chip, dude.
True.
That was mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. Dallas, Minnesota. Minnesota 1-0 over Dallas. And then we've got... Then, of course, we've got what everybody is talking about, what everybody is happy about for the most part. Real Salt Lake 2-1 win over Vancouver Whitecaps. And, dude, why don't you hit us with the pre-stats that you mentioned in the last episode that Trey blatantly stole from you. Go ahead and tell us the stats, dude. What were the stats, if you remember them?
Yeah, so entering this one, since 2010, RSL had not lost a season opener. They were 6-7, 6 wins, 7 draws, and then they went into Vancouver, and it for a second there, it looked like they weren't going to come out of Vancouver with a result.
Not that first half, man. Yep. That was some rough footy.
So let's talk about it. Let's go ahead and break down this match. First off, before the match even kicks off, you can kind of see like the Apple mandates kind of coming down to the team level. RSL puts out a team graphic starting 11 for the first time. I don't think that's because it's a fan, hey, let's do this for the fans. I think it's because Apple's basically saying, hey,
I think you're right.
You got to do this.
Yeah.
Just the first time we've seen one of those since the Petit era. Yeah. Since the Royals existed.
Well, actually, I don't know, because Houston didn't do formation. Trying to think. I think maybe it was just Houston.
Maybe the admin just was like, I don't want to deal with those tweets this year.
Yeah.
Can we please just put out the formation?
I don't know, man.
Nashville. Nashville doesn't have a graphic either.
Yeah. So let's go and take a step back. And we were playing a fun game that we'll probably do here in the future. Because the first half just was kind of uneventful. Josh, do you want to talk about like what we were doing?
Oh, our... Our starting 11 of the biggest flops.
Yeah. Like the biggest RSL flops. Like,
yeah. Just like signings we regretted or ones that just didn't pan out or players that just couldn't play.
Like I know people will do like, oh, let's hear your best 11. We were putting together like our worst 11.
Right, and that was based on our feelings towards this first half because it was so disconnected. It was so sloppy. You know, we went down a goal from some poor marking. Like it just was not good. And based on that first half, you know, I don't think any of us thought we were coming out with a win.
Yeah. So let's talk about the starting 11 real quick. Rubio Rubin obviously didn't travel with Real Salt Lake. Suspension?
Yep.
And so the starting 11, here we go for Real Salt Lake. So up top we've got Anderson Julio. In the mid we've got Jefferson Savarino, Demir Krylock, Mikhail Chang, which I know there's a lot of opinions on that. And then we've got Brian Ojeda, Jasper Lofelsund, and in the defense, we've got Brian Oviedo, Marcelo Silva, Justin Glad, Andrew Brody, and in keep, of course, we've got Zach McMath. You guys see that starting 11? What's the what kind of feelings do you guys get off of the approach that Pablo's going with?
That's a good 11. I had no problem with it.
Yeah, same. It's a good 11.
Stacked midfield. Yeah, that's all I could really say.
I think really the only minor change is, like, I get, and I told you guys this yesterday too, is like I get wanting to ease Gomez into MLS competition, but I think Miram probably would have been a better choice to start. And again, that goes back into the Michael Chang opinions, and I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
My only other real thing is, you know, I'm very sad that we don't have enough strikers that, you know, our only striker is suspended and then we're having to play a winger as striker. Like, I cannot wait for the day that that problem is solved.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just an uneventful first half. Just
sloppy, dude. And, you know, I really, after, you know, rewatching some of the game, thinking about it, I really want to believe a lot of that was nerves and a lot of that was the turf.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of it had to do with turf.
Right.
I mean, if we want to skip forward to, you know, Carlos Andres Gomez's, I think a lot of that was just turf.
Yeah, and I don't want to blame the turf, especially having to go to Seattle next weekend.
But their turf's even different, though. Apparently, this is a new turf.
Yeah, that was just recently installed.
So mm-hmm. it just did not look like it was playable, dude.
And I mean, we kind of saw it in the midfield a little bit, too. Anytime Jasper or Heather would get up the ball, especially in the first half, it was just kind of just sloppy possession. We couldn't really hold on to it. Too many turnovers, too many giveaways. Turf, preseason jitters, first game jitters, I don't know what it was, but first half.
We're away, there's a snowstorm. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on.
That first half wasn't good.
You know, not just to mention the misguided passes from Ojeda and Loftleson, but even our outside backs, like, they could not, you know, we could see we were trying to switch the field multiple times and we just could not do it. Glad couldn't get it over. You know, it just looked like a struggle in all aspects.
Yeah, and I think even defensively, we struggled in the first half. There was way too many opportunities for Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, the communication was definitely off. I think a big part of that is severely missing Aaron Herrera, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is your first game without him. You know, Oviedo's been around, but he hasn't been around like Herrera has. You know, so they have to gel, and it takes some time.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, I mean, you can see that because the switching and just kind of like the marking in the first half, it just wasn't good. We gave up the set piece off poor marking for the mm-hmm. first goal.
Poor marking, and then even before that, it was a turnover in the midfield by Ojeda, I believe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then last, like, what, 10-ish minutes of that first half, they started to come alive a little more, started taking more opportunities, started getting forward a bit more. But the response in the second half, I think, was just a lot better.
Yeah, night and day, whatever Pablo said at halftime, it worked. So. Yeah,
for sure.
We were having a debate on what Pablo was saying. So what do you think Pablo said in the half?
You know, realistically, I think he just told everyone they needed to calm down.
Why don't you say what you said yesterday? You were making some good jokes. Come on, guys. It's just the first game of the season. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just do your thing.
Just play hard.
Keep doing what you do.
Just have fun.
You know what to do. Just get out there and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back to the first half, Jasper Loftleson draws a yellow card in the 15th minute.
Early.
So we're a little bit nervous, mm-hmm. right?
And that one, honestly, like a second later, could have easily been a red. Is close.
Yeah. 24th minute, so Julian Gressel assists Javian Brown for the 1-0 up. Again, uneventful comeback, 70th minute. We'll jump into the first goal. And it's a Michael Chang assist, whips it into the box, and Justin Glad just, I wouldn't say sacrifices his body,
but he threw himself at it.
And he gets his left foot on it, and his upper body goes into the pole. Obviously, he's not injured, celebrates. Did we have it drawn up as a Jay Glad goal, being the first goal of the season?
Someone said it.
I don't know who did.
I think one of us did.
One of us said it while we were watching the game.
Huh. Yeah.
So, yeah.
More of like a joking manner, right? Yeah, like defender. Absolutely. Yeah, like a defender goal.
Yeah.
And then not even like 3 minutes later, the ball is played out wide. Who took that? Who did the outside foot pass into Jefferson Severino?
Oviedo, yeah.
Beautiful pass, dude. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why this led up to the play. Jefferson Severino maintains possession inside the box. Little toe poke, and then Demir Krylov first touch with his left.
Yeah, it was with his left.
Dude. With his left, dude.
It hits
the side net. Beautiful goal, bro.
It was weird because usually when someone takes that shot, they try to curl the ball towards the far post.
Mm-hmm.
But he curled it inside, which was weird.
Yeah,
but I mean,
and he's got the confidence. I mean, how many times, how many opportunities did we see inside the box or just outside the box where a heavy ball is played quickly? And it's like touch, shot.
Yes.
Demir with a veteran status, bro, one touch.
And it's funny you say confidence because he hasn't played in a whole year.
Yeah. You couldn't have told me that.
Yeah.
After like last night.
Just comes in. And up to that point, I don't think he really was involved too much in the game.
But no one was going forward.
None of our attack was really involved in that one up until probably like 10 minutes prior to that when Arsenal started attacking. But for Demir to just like show up in the right place at the right time, like he always does, and to just curl that in the way that he did, that's you. I wouldn't have known. Like if I wasn't following RSL, I would have known that he hadn't played in like almost a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's insane, man. And you guys have thoughts about him going like the full 90? We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Talk about it later. But shortly after, Michael Chang is subbed out. In comes Carlos Gomez. But let's talk about Michael Chang. There's a lot of opinions online. We were a little guilty of like, dude, like get him off, right? But he
got the assist.
He got the assist. So is all forgiven, or what can Michael Chang improve on?
You know, I think a lot of it, you know, just like with Ojeda, with Loftleson, with Glad, with Oviedo, I think a lot of it with Chang was the turf too. You know, there were just a lot of misplaced passes, a lot of misplaced crosses. And the offense was seemingly going through Chang at the moment, so I think he was just the one everyone was paying attention to, right? But at the end of the day, he was a fine game.
Yeah.
Compared to everyone else, right, it was a fine game.
Yeah.
And I think everyone kind of forgets, too, that a lot of his assists last year and a lot of what he does is curating set pieces. And we were able to score the first one off a set piece. Short corner play to Chang, just close. And then Chang just whips it out back far post, and Justin Glad's there to meet it. That's who Michael Chang is. That's what he does. He's really good at curating those set pieces, and so just to have him there in that position is good. But like you said, first half for him and first half for the majority of the team, it was just sloppy. It just wasn't good.
Yep. But, you know, with him being the focal point, that's where the mean tweets come from people. So
just catches the flag. It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll come back and we'll give him we threw a tweet out. And we'll discuss it, but we did like a, you know, who would you rate last night's, or where would you rate last night's performance from 1 to 10? Who stood out positively, and who do you think needs major improvement? We'll come back and revisit that here in just a few minutes. Okay, 76th minute, Sergio Cordova comes on for the Whitecaps. And, dude, that guy, his sprint, bro, from, like, box to box, dude.
But let's be real, that was his one sprint of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I watched him play last night, and did you guys miss him?
I'd probably say no.
No, because I think the way he played for the Whitecaps is the way he would have played for us.
Right.
I mean, dude, like the sprint that caught everybody off guard, where we're just like, dude, we've never seen him run that long.
It's annoying.
Or that fast, sorry, annoying. And then he had like this beautiful touch and turn where he just didn't happen to have like a shot leading up to it, but yeah, I mean, he's warming up on the sideline. You know, the commentators are talking about him to come in, but it just didn't really feel like a threat.
No,
it wasn't. I think that's like scary.
We all know what he's capable of, right? But most of the time, he was capable of disappointment.
Yeah,
right. Yes, we can remember that he was our leading scorer last year, but how many times leading up to that were we like, we should just terminate this guy's loan? You know what I mean?
A couple times.
I don't understand what Vancouver saw in him to pay him DP money. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't get it. One person that we might have kind of skipped in all of this, because I see the substitution leading up to in the 79th minute, was Anderson Julio.
He never had a chance to get involved. Missed him
this
man.
Match, man.
He never had a chance to get involved. There was no ball, no through balls played to him. There was nothing played to him. And you could say the same about old Danny Musovski.
Oh my God.
Moose, right? I think he had one run.
Dude was running in quicksand.
Dude. That was.
I wouldn't call that running.
Shooketh. You know, like.
You're so slow.
Do you guys play FIFA?
Yeah.
So you know how, like, you're playing career mode and you have this team full of, like, 70, 80s, maybe higher, and then you, like, get someone like through your academy and they're bronze. And then they just. You push sprint and they don't move. Yeah. That's what that was, dude. Like, I don't know what happened there, but.
Yeah, it was a really slow run by Danny Musovski. I'm sure you guys may have seen it.
LAFC misses him, though.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be shown why.
Yeah.
Well, and then going back to Anderson, like Drake Josh said, I just don't think he got really that much involved. But even then, I feel like the one or two runs that he had, he got beat to the balls. And I made the comment last night. I was like, I never thought that we would say that and like Anderson Julio in the same sentence with him just getting outrun by a defender.
Especially by a center back.
Right.
That was weird.
Yep.
But again, turf maybe? I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I'm just glad we don't play on turf, dude.
That was a weird one.
True.
At the same time of Anderson Julio's substitution, we pull off Jefferson Severino. In comes Justin Muram. I would have wanted to see a little bit more of Justin Muram in this game.
Agreed.
He's just like, to me, he's just a playmaker. Like, he's a decent hold-up player. He can get balls into the box, not afraid of people to take players on one-on-one. So he came in the 79th.
But let's be real, his first like 2-3 involvements were turnovers.
And I think, again, that just goes back to kind of the funk that Rostalek was in all night. You don't expect that from a veteran player, right. A guy who's entering season 13 in the league. He just comes in, tries to do what he does, take on those players, make those nifty little moves on the wing, but just completely turns the ball over. We saw it on both sides of the wing.
Right.
Because Gomez, obviously, we're going to give him a little bit of time. We're going to give him a little bit to jump into MLS competition. But like he had like maybe one or two good sprints to start with, and then the turnovers came from that side too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Miriam's for me was they came really close to the box. He was trying to do some stuff.
It's just pretty nerve-wracking, yeah. Man. Like, to, you know, we get it, hunker in, bunker down, park the bus, essentially. But you're just up 2-1.
As we learned from the playoffs last year, that's not necessarily the way to go.
But we know that, I think, Pablo's mentality there is, yeah, if we can get the win, we'll take it. But if we can take the draw, like, that's just as good. I mean, sure. That's been quoted before. That's been something that has been said.
Especially on the road. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, we'll take a draw.
Yeah. And especially, and with how they played as well. Like, you're in a position now where you're up 2-1. Right. Don't take any chances. Just bunker down, walk up there with 3 or 1 point.
That's what I'm saying, is some of the things these wingers were trying to pull that close to your own goal while trying to preserve a lead were dumb.
Questionable. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I just want to drive some stats. I want to run some stats by you guys, and I want you guys to say which team do you think it was. Okay, so total shots. Ready? One team had 18, one team had 11. Which team had 18?
Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Okay, you might have said that earlier, Alex. Possession. Who had higher possession, 55% versus 44%?
Vancouver.
Pass success rate. 84 to 82.
Vancouver.
Yeah. Is dribbles a stat, dude?
It is.
Yeah, dribbles. 11 dribbles versus 3 dribbles.
I'm going to go Vancouver.
Real Salt Lake.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Aerials won 14 versus 9.
Real Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Yes.
I like Isaac's. Real Salt Lake?
Is it like Real a question? Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. No, you're fine, dude. Okay. Tackles, 17 versus 16. Let's go with Alex.
What was it again?
Tackles, 17 versus 16.
I'm going to go RSL.
Yeah, you got it. This is just fun. Corners. All right. Who had the most corners? 10 versus 6.
RSL.
That would be Vancouver.
Oh, really?
And then dispossessed 8 times, tied. The player that got the highest rating out of both squads was Jay Glad. So somebody replied to KSL Sports.
Yeah.
All right,
dude, I saw that too, and I was like, dog. So, okay, here's my argument for this.
This is so stupid, man. So I saw that too.
You have, like, Sava and the two goal scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Who else could you put as a third person for, like, who was the man of the match?
Wait, what are you talking about?
So someone on KSL... The KSL Sports had the poll, who was your man of the match, and Jay Glad was in there, and someone went in and said, obviously you guys didn't pay attention to the game because you wouldn't have put Justin Glad in there.
Yeah,
he scored a goal, dude.
It was at Cody Alves 24. Stupid take, bro. The fact that Jay Glad is an option shows that you guys don't watch sports much. What are you talking about, dude, bro?
Like, yes, he may not have had the best game.
The opening goal defender?
Right, but, like, sure, he may not have had the best game. No one else did either, yeah, right? He had a goal that puts you in the conversation. That's literally it.
Well, and then you can make the argument that literally nobody had a good game, especially in the first half.
No, nobody did. But, I mean, like, you got to throw a goal scorer on there.
Yeah.
You throw both goal scorers on there and the playmaker. Like,
yeah.
Unless the goalie stood on his head, which McMath did not.
I saw that, man. That was so weird. And they do watch sports, dude. Everybody at KSL Sports, that's literally their job. There's TVs everywhere. Someone would argue that and say that, whatever, but, dude.
No, that was a pretty bad take.
Yeah, it's a pretty stupid take. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about...
I love that we don't care anymore, and we'll just say that now.
Dude, it's a dumb take, bro. It's just stupid.
I have dumb takes all the time.
That was, like, stupid, though. Like, I saw it, and I wanted to reply, and then I was like, ugh.
I did the same thing. I almost worth the time. Sent it to you guys,
it's and like,
I was
not like, worth the
not
time.
Worth the argument, yeah.
All right. Sure, he's a nice guy. All right.
Yeah, thanks for listening, if you're listening.
Yeah.
All right. But,
shout out. Yeah, we appreciate you.
All right. Let's move on. All right. RSL Show, where would you rate last night's performance from 1 to 10? Who stood out in a positive way, and who do you think needs major improvement? Share your thoughts, and we'll cover it on the next episode. This is the next episode, so we're going to go down the list. And, a lot of engagement on this. So, at Robert Kreeb... wrote, only players I thought were good were Silva, Glad. Other than that, bad giveaway. Or, excuse me, other than the bad giveaway, and McMath. Lots of players who usually stand out were invisible in the first half. Sava, Brody, Demir.
Yeah, again, though, I think that's away in Vancouver. notoriously a bad place for us to play. Brand new turf, bad weather, first game of the year. I'm giving this one a pass. This is also why we have our, we're going to give it 10 games into the season to see how we really feel, right? So yeah,
let's keep going down the list. So Sean Moran says, I'm going with the first game jitters on the first half and some of the lingering bad passes and decisions in the second half. Eager to see the progression. Side note, I was blown away with Vancouver's passing and attack first half.
Yeah.
Matthew Daniels, he actually gave us scores. He said the first half, 2 out of 10. Second half, 7 out of 10. Overall, 5 out of 10.
That's about where I sit. Yeah. Out of 5, yeah.
But you got to add like 2 points because you took 3 points.
No.
Like 7 out of 10.
We don't deserve, like, we didn't technically deserve to win that game, in my opinion, right? This is one of those games that if RSL, if the roles were reversed and we lost that game, I would be livid.
Yeah.
Because Vancouver did not deserve to lose, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
Preston Chitty says, thrilled but genuinely shocked with the win.
Exactly.
Given how that first half went. Feels so weird to be so pessimistic about a late comeback, but a lot of the boys were really poor. Good news is we have lots of time for improvement and getting more of the new boys settled in. True.
That's exactly, yeah, that's exactly how I feel after this one.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Show over. Guitar guy Ryan the Rusky says, first half 2 out of 10, second half 7 out of 10. Ojeda had a lot of really bad passes / possession.
Yes, he did.
Miram was awful. That's all he says. Krylock was great, but needed more of the ball.
Yep.
We really struggle on turf.
Yep.
Looking forward to see what Gomez can really do. So this, you know,
it's all unanimous, man.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Draper Ute says, 5 overall. Marking on set pieces needs work. Missed Ruiz in midfield. Never thought I'd say that.
Well, hot take here. It's not even that hot of a take. I don't think Ruiz makes that much of a difference in that match. I think everyone was going to struggle.
Yeah. Yep. And most crosses were not good. Only giving up one goal with all the bad passes leading to breaks was a miracle. Defensive recovery was decent. Got to give it up to Marcelo Silva. He was working back there.
Absolutely. And his almost goal off that 18-yard header.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was a bullet, dude.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to be, we talked about this last night a little bit, but again, we have to be critical about McMath's distribution again.
Yes.
My Lord, man.
Pretty bad.
That's going to, that will get us in trouble one of these days.
It absolutely needs to just like slow down, calm down. All right. Philip Clark says, I was so glad to see Demir get a goal. Wouldn't it be cool if they looked like they practiced on the counter? Wouldn't it be cool if they looked like they practiced on the counter?
I mean, we couldn't even get past like the midfield point at one point of the first half.
The only counters I can think of are we killed them ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Tim C, Meaty Conyers, nice handle. Solid 6. The last 8 minutes plus 6 extra time was intense. Great defensive stand at the end. Zachary Sayer says, first half was barf. I've never seen Glad make so many poor passes. But I was thoroughly impressed with how they switched gears in the second. Glad that Glad came back, didn't lose his confidence and scored. Was totally rad. Can't help but love this team. They are human, but they battle.
Yep. It's that X-Dog, bro.
Cody Eden. Poor start, obviously, but they found their footing and fought back. That's the key, especially on the road. Liked what I saw from Jasper, Severino, Glad after the rough start. More than anything, Krylock vibes A++++. Sava and healthy Dami going to be a great combo.
I agree.
Russ Grizz, first half 3 or 4, second half 7. McMath was the standout of the game. Whole team needs to work on those soft turnovers. Oh, man, that's like such a contradiction because of McMath's distribution.
The thing I can say is like, he saved us from, like, at least 2 more goals, right?
Yeah, no, he had some good saves. And McMath is an absolute shot stopper, right? That's his gig.
Right.
But his distribution's always been a problem, and that's what's kept him from being in the elite category of goalkeepers.
And I think for a team that loves to pass around the back line and start the attack from the back, you kind of need a good goalkeeper who's going to be good with his feet. You're going to need a good keeper who's going to distribute it well. And I can't remember, there was like maybe 1 or 2 in the first half, right, where he like messed it up pretty bad and Vancouver was like right on an attack.
And let's not forget that had Ochoa not Ochoa would be the starter.
Yeah.
Right? McMath would have lost his starting gig to another goalkeeper at another club. Like, there's a reason he has never kept that job, and a big reason is his footwork and his distribution.
And I've never, you know, I don't think we've ever complained about Ochoa's distribution. Aside from
that was one of his strengths.
Yeah, aside from like his stupid turnover with was it the U.S. Where did Ochoa have that?
Oh, I think it was in the Olympics. The 20s.
Yeah, the Olympic qualifier. Yeah,
like just a stupid mistake. Whatever. That was like his one, right? But with McMath, it's almost like
every time the ball rolls back to him, you're puckering. You know what I mean?
We're seeing it at least once a game, and especially towards the end of last year, we saw it at least once a match.
Yep, where that could have been the game changer.
Yeah.
So
Kevin Meyer says backline needs major work on clearances. Gomez looked slow and a little confused. Yeah, that's just. It's the first match.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a little bit of a pass.
He's in his third country in 2 weeks. Like,
true.
You know what I mean?
As a 20-year-old, you know, who's never left Colombia before in his life.
Right. He's going to need a minute.
Yeah.
Barry, go ahead.
I hope he gets those minutes.
Yeah. Barry Utley says, man of the match, Severino. Second half, Glad and McMath. So, yeah. Okay. He, like, picked three men of the matches there. Nice job. What needs to improve? Possession and movement off of the ball, better marking on defense, polish up the first touch, and improve passing. Gomez looked rusty, but I am not worried about that. Nice to have Domi back. Score 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Reincarnated as Bob. 6. Glad was the best on the field. Ojeda and Oviedo were really bad. Midfield needs some work. So it's just, everyone's just basically, you know, reiterating what we've said. Let's take it over to Instagram real quick. I hate to spend a lot of time on these, but want to make sure all the platforms are taken care of. So C. Nagaldino says, 6 for the play, but the 3 points is all that matters after a night like that. Struggling on the road and winning is the mark of a strong team.
Absolutely.
I read that one and I like resonated with that the most. Yep.
This so we have to give credit, right? That's a good point.
Yeah.
This team last year,
they don't pull that win out.
No.
Or this team without Domi,
they don't pull that win absolutely. Out, right? Yeah.
No way.
So
exactly.
It's good. It's a good thing. It's a good result. We're just asking for more because that's what we do as fans.
Just polish it up.
Ethan Beckstrand says, I thought Loftusen was a bit rough. At least the second half he looked out paced and underpowered. Gomez looks promising but had a few clumsy or heavy touches and just running straight at defenders with no plan is an odd tactic. Just glad to have Demir back. Braden Ashby. Oh, wait. Do we want to say something to Ethan real quick? Ethan, your calves are small. Okay. Braden Ashby says, Ojeda was constantly under pressure but never lost the ball. Many times we would lose the ball and just hope it would get to them but end up turning over. Julio seems more and more like a winger, not a number 9.
Yeah.
Andres Gomez just needs time to adjust to how physical this league is. You can tell he isn't used to it yet. Well, it's
he got minutes. 15 minutes. You know?
Yeah. Thanks, Braden. Let's see. Pecky.20, not
Mike?
No. Oh, is that your sister?
Probably.
Elizabeth N?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A 6. First half was rough to watch, but they played much better second half. Demir, Ojeda, and Jefferson played well. Gomez needs more time to adjust, but he can be a key player this year. Glad was struggling in the first half, but made up for it with a goal.
She's coming for your job, dude.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, let's. Alex, what are your thoughts on that take?
I agree. We had a little bit of conversation last night, kind of about that, and I told her, yeah, that's exactly what I saw. So shout out Becky. Good job.
Is she going to do a Royals podcast when they come back around?
If she's not in Kansas, maybe
she's probably going to be playing for the Royals.
Yeah. Ooh, hot take. Yeah.
I mean,
you heard it here first.
I think so.
She is pretty good. She's very good.
I'm sorry, what was the last part?
Isaac?
What?
Nothing.
Right.
You like whispered something into the mic, bro. All right, Chap Wade. First half was a 3 simply because we only conceded once. Way too many times we gave up possession and midfield was non-existent. Second half, I'll give an 8. I love Domi. Ojeda was constantly losing the ball. And Oviedo, to me, was getting beat a lot in the first half. Gomez needs some time to adjust, so I really hope he keeps getting time.
You know, a big problem with Oviedo was not only was he getting beat, but there were a lot of times that coming back after a turnover, he was very slow to get back on defense. And our midfield was not shifting to cover him, so we just had these giant holes on the wing where he should have been. which again was, you know, catching us off guard, keeping us out of the shape defensively, and, you know, just causing us to not look great. And a lot of that's the Herrera effect. So
Usbaldo says a 5. Midfield was nowhere to be found. Defense and midfield were super disconnected. I don't want to be a second-half team. I want them to play focused for 90 minutes. Also, for Pablo preaching all preseason that they want to play vertical, we didn't really see much of it.
Well, we saw it on the wings, and it was the wings running straight, right?
Yeah.
But, I think a lot of this is stuff we'll see at home. An away match is an entirely different beast, but I would love for us to bring games to an opponent, even if we're not at Rio Tinto. America First. The Riot.
What a slip up. Thibault Robbie says, honestly, maybe a 7. We did figure it around the end. Let's see. Ferry 24. I'd give it a 6.5. First half was rough, but if they play every single game the way they played second half, we'll get pretty far this season. DA Robs 5 says, I'll give the team a 6. Demir Jefferson and Jasper played well. I like certain members of the podcast. I'm ready for Chang to be on the bench. Wait, what? Ooh. Certain members, bro? Who wants Chang on the bench?
Chang will be on the bench by the end of the year.
Yeah, dude,
he has to be, right?
What's his contract?
Club record signing. I think we just renewed him, but yeah, you have a club record signing in your spot now. That if he comes good, your spot's, you know, you're going to be off the bench.
Those days are numbered, man.
He's also, like, we have to remember he's in his 30s now, which I think we all forget. Weird. So
yeah. DA Robs 5, to continue on, he says, Glad kind of struggled in the first half, but I think he'll be okay. Alan Alcast just wrote 6. Ian Lenars wrote 5. If the team could string together more passes If the team could string together more passes instead of the bypassing the midfield to the wingers. Sorry, dude. You must have been in a hurry writing that one. Confusing?
No, but I know what he's saying. There's a lot of times we skipped Ojeda, Krylock, Loftus-Cheek, Saba. Well, not Saba, but we were going straight for that switch or the outside ball to the winger to try to break free, and it just wasn't working.
Yeah, Ian Linares, Josh saved you. Okay, Luke Roge says 6, and then King Dom 801 wrote 6 and missing Aaron Herrera 22 on the back wing.
Absolutely.
It's true. Yeah, you guys are killing it on the engagement on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks, guys, for chilling with us. And
it's
always
good to be back, man.
Yeah, just always, you know, always just commenting and being your true fans, self, and listeners. We appreciate it. Okay. Let's go around the room. Let's do the 1 to 10. Your standout player. You can elaborate if you want. And then you can also cover the not so standout player, or really anything about the squad that you didn't like. And then also, I kind of want to incorporate some Pablo talk in there. Did we like the tactics? Did we like the substitutions? Are we confident in Pablo? Let's start with Alex.
I'll start with Pablo. It's too early to tell. I think, again, it was just a funky game for RSL. But at the end of the day, they pulled out the 3 points. And for the first game of the season, for being in the road in Canada, it works. You know, it's good. We got 3 points. But I think from now, it's just how do you respond and how do you polish things up, especially the control in the midfield. And especially dictating the game through the midfield, because we didn't really see that from Ojeda and Loftus-Cheek last night. So I think for me, if the Pablo is just too early to tell, I give the overall performance of the team probably a 5.4.
It's oddly specific.
That is way too specific.
A 5.4, bro?
I'm gonna go a 5.1.5.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Tweet at us. Let us know if you agree with Alex. Josh?
You know, first half I was regretting being excited for the season. Second half I was back to being excited about the season, right? So I think we're just going to be in for a roller coaster this year. As far as standouts, honestly, no one really stood out to me. I think everyone was just kind of meh, like literally everyone.
Yeah.
There were some bad standouts just due to bad giveaways. The substitutions were fine. I was a little concerned about Domi going 90, if I'm not going to lie to you guys,
mm-hmm.
especially on turf coming back from injury. But, you know, he's your captain. He's your talisman. So I get it. Go for it. But, you know, it's risky. But yeah, I think Pablo did fine. The real test is going to be Seattle next week.
Yeah.
You know, that's always a test. But we do well in Seattle, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
And Garth is gone. He's in Atlanta now.
Yeah, the old Weibels is running it. So I'm curious how that goes. I'm curious to see if Seattle loses that little magic they had while Garth is there.
Well, so far, the only change that Weibel has made is he brought in Eber from New York City FC.
Right, but I mean, that's
you're running. He's running it back with the same exact squad he had last year, which we saw struggled.
But that was also Champions League, right? They still won the Champions League.
Sure, and no one's going to take that away from them. But coming back into, you know, Major League Soccer, coming back into that Champions League hangover, and some can say that it probably was an injury issue too, because you're missing your most key player in Joao Paulo all year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the same exact Seattle team that ran out and didn't make the playoffs for the first time since coming into the league.
Yeah, we'll see. Weibel didn't really have a good shot here because Deloitte was the owner.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm really curious what he can do. I don't see it going well for Seattle.
I don't either.
Not that they're going to have a bad year. They're not going to be cup contenders.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about how weird it was to like not have them in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
Isaac? I would love for them to just absolutely suck for a few seasons.
Your rating out of 10 and Pablo. Do you believe in Pablo?
I do believe in Pablo, actually. I think he's going to do a good job this season. Right now, from what I saw, 6 out of 10. And I'm just really happy that Demir Kralik's back, because he's been missed. I missed him.
That's fair. I think everyone's happy Dami's back. If you're not happy Dami's back,
something
you have issues.
Yeah. Oh, there's nobody on. There's no one out there. I mirror your guys' 5 out of 10, but I think getting a win. I mean, a win's a win. You got to tack on 2 points. I'm going to go to 7 out of 10.
Wow.
I was going overall.
I'm going overall. I think 7 out of 10 is decent. Yeah, I believe in Pablo, man. It's like you guys were saying, like brand new jitters, new season jitters, playing in Vancouver, standout player. I would have to say, obviously, Demir, just he's on a whole different level, dude. The one touch, the leadership he brings, and I think the improvement, I think it's unfair to just tack it onto one player instinctively, like you guys were saying. It's easy to just throw it on Chang. I feel that, but man, this was just like a multitude of just weak play and weak figuring it out, and it just took too long to try and figure it out. And then, I mean, we had the burst where the goals were scored, but then after that, it just kind of felt like it just went back to mediocre play, and we kind of lucked out with that 2-1 win.
Absolutely, there were many times we could have lost the lead.
Yeah. So yeah, just. Man, I think there's no better feeling than starting out the new season with 3 points.
Absolutely.
On the board. I think Justin Glad put a season, like a season goals of how many he wanted to get. He said that he wanted 5. He got his first.
4 more to go.
Yeah, that's, I mean, this early, dude, right? So I don't know if he'll hit that number, but it'd be awesome if he did.
I bet you he hits 3.
Yeah, Carlos Andres Gomez, what's his number, 7?
He said 7, yeah.
Yeah, so 7 goals is, that'd be fun to kind of digest and just kind of see what the other players are aiming for.
I'm still a firm believer that if we bring in a true 9, a true goal scorer, this team can go very, very far.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else, guys?
No, I think, covered it all? I think
just... I mean, why is Brody going gray? That's my only question.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully.
But no.
No. Actually, hopefully speaking about Brody, I totally forgot he got left concussed, so hopefully he's all right.
Oh, man.
Because I think under him is Bodie.
Bodie, yeah.
Yeah.
But this could be, I mean, young players are always looking for that opportunity to come in and make their mark. This could be his time.
And we saw it with Brody a couple years ago.
Right. So I hope it's not at the expense of Brody.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, if he truly is out with a concussion, and this is his time to come in and show what he can do, I hope he takes full advantage.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah. That pretty much sums it up, guys. That is the latest episode of the RSL Show. Do we want to preview the next matchup? It's probably too early to do that. Unless you guys have anything that you guys want to cover. I think we covered it.
Yeah, I think we're good.
We kind of heading into that, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, just remember to sign up for your RSL MLS season pass. And congrats to the winner, Dalton Gee. We've sent that over to you, dude. Thanks again, everybody, for the reviews. And we will continue this on. We'll work with the RSL team store to bring more giveaways and just reward you guys for listening weekly. We appreciate you guys. Catch RSL show content on KSL Sports.